It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future.
Folks, good morning and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Here we are, hour number two. It is now officially Saturday, March 31st, 2007, midnight here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org or perhaps at franklyspeakingradio.com. And while you're surfing around there online, make sure you swing by Ted's website and check it out. Our guest this evening, dataforscience.net. That's D-A-T-A, the number four, S-C-I-E-N-C-E.net. And also bookonmars.info. Of course, the book is entitled What NASA Isn't Telling You About Mars. Its author, Ted Tweetmeyer. Welcome back.
Hi.
Thank you again so much for agreeing to hang out with us a little bit longer. You were leaving us with a story there when we had to interrupt about Voyager.
Yes. When it got to the outer planets, the light levels were extremely low, and the imaging technology of the day, didn't deal with that too well. Mm-hmm. So they had to do what you might call a very long exposure. And we're talking like a couple hours.
Wow.
And to accumulate enough photons to create an image, and the images it got were really astounding. I mean, they're beautiful. But the problem was, okay, the spacecraft is still moving at, a fairly substantial speed because they used, like, three planets to slingshot it up to some fairly high velocity. But the bottom line was, how do you keep the camera pointed at the planet whilst you fly by?
Mm-hmm.
And what the spacecraft did is it recorded it onto tape. It had a little tape deck in it. It recorded the image, the video image to tape, and then it would rotate itself around, point the dish at Earth, it had a big dish on it, and transmit the image to Earth. And that's what it did every time it made images. Well, they had a 9,000-to-1 gearbox on there on the camera. That meant that the motor turned 9,000 times revolutions for every one revolution that the platform moved.
Mm.
That's a tremendous ratio.
Wow.
The gearbox, the grease began to thicken up in the deep space. So they found that if just before they're going to image, they would send commands to the spacecraft to exercise the gearbox. So they did a lot of really clever things to keep it working.
Wow.
And they began to image planets they didn't expect to image because they didn't know it would last that long.
Mm-hmm.
And then the farther out in space they got, they actually got down to calculating the amount of gas molecules that their thruster jets would have to release to keep it pointed correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something that weighs like about a ton. It was a fairly heavy spacecraft in that day. And yet, these little tiny reaction thrusters, they're calculating minuscule amounts of gas that have to be released to keep it pointed at the planet without blurring the image.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was pretty sophisticated, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
for its time.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. And then, like you said, nowadays, gosh, I mean, they just can't do anything right.
No, they almost lost those two rovers on Mars because they uploaded a Java program, so-called upgrade to them, and the rovers went catatonic. NASA actually admitted in a public press conference they had to call in some engineers out of retirement to help them recover.
Wow.
don't have any common sense left in engineering anymore.
Gosh, that's awful.
Just look under the hood of your car. That'll speak volumes to you.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right about that. That's tragic stuff. Well, here it is. Another break here, Ted. Folks, stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes. Our special guest tonight, Ted Sweetmeyer, author of the book, What NASA Isn't Telling You About Mars. This is not conjecture, folks. This is evidence from NASA about Mars and Ted's analysis. So, really fantastic stuff. Can't argue with the facts. Stay with us. Back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Our guest this evening, Ted Sweetmeyer, author of the book, what NASA isn't telling you about Mars. Ted, welcome back, sir.
Jawohl, mein Führer.
Hey, not yet. We haven't been invaded just yet there, pal.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And it'd probably be Chinese is what you should be speaking. Or Russian at this point. Never can tell how the world's going to play out.
That's for sure.
Yeah, we'll get into that, though, a little bit later this hour. I wanted to ask you about this. I had seen this, and we had heard that there was a big announcement to be made by SETI a few months ago, I guess. A lot of people were very excited, very speculative about what that announcement might be, speculating that they had, you know, received some signals. And then, of course, SETI just basically came out and blasted people on their website, saying, "How dare you? If we were going to make an announcement like this, we wouldn't highlight it like this. We wouldn't announce it so many days in advance." Then the announcement was something ridiculous, like, "We just want to let everybody know that we changed the stripes on the parking lot out here in the building, so everybody needs to park on the street on Tuesday." You know, it's something ridiculous like that.
Translation. If we were going to make an announcement like this, we would not make an announcement like this.
That's right. That's how I took it. It just made no sense to me at all. What are your thoughts about SETI? I mean, are they actually trying to garner some truth and give it to the people?
I can't stand that one. That whole thing is so lame.
Is it?
Well, what they did is they built some frequency hopping microwave spectrum receivers. And they decided, okay, that these are the frequencies that any alien life would be using. And that's all they monitor is this relatively narrow band of frequency, which are handy because you can use a dish to receive them. You know, you don't need a big gig antenna or, you know, some huge antenna array. You just need a dish. You can point, name, and listen. And the whole thing is the hope. Pretense of it is so arrogantly absurd. I mean, then you got Stephen Greer's group, CSETI, which is really just hit the nail on the head, and they're just talking facts. And, you know, a couple hundred, former and current defense workers and witnesses. I mean, he's got the proverbial smoking gun 100 times over.
Oh, yeah. Well said.
You know, and so, but the regular SETI people, rather, they, I don't know, I think they ought to be searching for some intelligence for themselves before they go out there looking for me.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, most people would think of NASA as being sort of our little liaison to the to outer space. Not necessarily like, hey, our ambassadors to alien civilizations per se, but rather, that's the arm that extends out into space from the planet. You look at NASA and you'd think that. Well, what is the point of NASA? Are they out there to seek out new life and new civilizations? Are they out there to control things? Are they out there to be an excuse by way of, saying, hey, this is science, and actually getting some sort of militarization of space going on?
Ever been to a movie?
Yes.
Ever been to a play?
Yes.
Well, and you've seen NASA at work. I mean, it's all theater. That's all it is.
That's it, huh?
That's it. It's theater, because we have another space program, which is, there's a lot of argument over whether it's run by the Navy or the Air Force. But the odd thing in the military services is that in order of, shall we say, advanced technology, the Navy's at the top.
Really?
The Air Force is in the middle. The Army and Marines are down near the bottom. But incredibly, a lot of what's going on, shall we say, up there is related to the Navy. And I guess maybe sailing the seas of the heavens. I don't know how the heck these guys figured out who's going to get to do what, but that's how it works. Maybe the term Air Force just says, okay, you're in the air, and that's it. If there's no air, then you don't go there.
That's interesting.
But I do know for a fact that the Navy is running a lot of this stuff, and they are involved in a lot of things going on with abductions.
The Navy is?
Yeah.
Really?
They are. They have... They have flying technology that would make the Air Force just drool in envy.
Really interesting. And obviously, it doesn't surprise me necessarily. You know, once you say it, then it makes sense. You know, we've heard about some things. A lot of people talk about UFOs. And by UFOs, again, folks, I'm not saying little green men, you know, like with a disc-shaped school bus, you know, tooling around showing kids all the sights of all the primitives down here on Earth. I'm talking about an unidentified object, whatever that may be. But, Ted, as you know, there have been many incidents where there have been reports of a UFO entering into the water. Under the ocean. Like Shag Harbor incident is one of the most famous ones up in Canada. And that one really hasn't even been explained, you know, to anybody's real satisfaction, even to this day.
Yeah, they're what they call USOs, underwater submerged objects.
Oh, okay.
Unidentified submerged objects, right?
Oh.
Yeah, that's the technical term for these things. And there's some interesting footage actually on YouTube. There was a disc in the woods, and there's footage of Soviet troops. They dispatched a small platoon to go guard this thing, and it's half buried in the ground.
Wow.
It's sitting there leaning up against a tree, not very big. That's the odd thing. I mean, if it's about, I'd say, 6 or 7 feet of it are above the ground, and it's just about exactly halfway, then... you know, you could pretty much get an idea of the overall diameter of the thing. And these came from former KGB archives.
Oh, wow.
You know, they were originally classified archives. So this thing's at the end of an open field. It's believed it hit the field, it somersaulted, and came to rest up against this tree. And you can see this tree that's probably about a 12-inch diameter tree, and it's kind of pushed backward. But anyway, this was on a documentary. Sorry, the name escapes me at the moment, but it's the documentary is broken up into like 8 or 9 segments, and it's in a couple of segments. But since it hit the ground at an angle, it makes you wonder if it was attempting to go into the ground, and maybe it didn't phase shift or something, and it was solid when it hit the ground. Instead of going down into the earth.
Yeah.
Because these discs have been seen, you know, in many, many places, just literally going right into the earth. Like they just, you know, vanish into the earth.
Wow.
They don't necessarily need an opening. Because if you're not, you know, completely in this dimension, then you can pass through matter. Matter can pass through matter.
That's interesting because, of course, one of the... official explanations is people would say it's just, you know, swamp gas or, you know, this phantom lights, things like that. So they'll say, oh, you saw a UFO, a flying object go through the ground and disappear. Now, obviously, you've been drinking, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, they hit the water and there's often not a huge splash. They just, you know, kind of glide right into the water.
Mm.
So, you know, it's matter passing through matter, basically.
Wow.
What it is. Same thing happens with abductions of people.
Mm.
They pass through closed doors, windows, walls, whatever, ceilings, and, you know, they're taken aboard and they're returned back.
Mm.
And some of the people that I've talked to have experienced like a buzzing sensation just before it happens.
Mm.
You know, and they're either unconscious or half conscious when it happens. But their matter is phase shifted. Partly out of this reality so that they can go through matter.
Hmm. It's very interesting. So this is basically some sort of military technology in essence.
Yeah, there is military definitely involved in many of the abductions. And I have found there's basically two types of transport systems. One of them is you go through the walls.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is like a flash transport. Just you're gone, poof, and you come back the same way.
Weird.
Which I think is probably the more advanced technology.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, the shadow government doesn't have that one yet. They just have the first one.
That's very interesting. We obviously have a break here, my friend. We come back. I want to talk a little bit more about the book, which is just phenomenal. And again, folks, hardcore proof that there are things that you've never heard about, things that you've never seen on CNN, and things that NASA knows full well about, because that's the origin of all of these photographs in Ted Tweetmeyer's book. Stay with us. Back in three.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you, from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're checking out our show this evening and our guest as well. Of course, his website's dataforscience.net. That's four, the number four. And bookonmars.info, and you'll see all about this book. What NASA Isn't Telling You About Mars, author Ted Tweetmeyer. Welcome back, sir.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. And again, very excited that you've agreed to spend some time with us here tonight. I want to talk to you about some of these images. You've showed a lot of these pictures to imaging experts, and what have they said about your analysis and about, you know, the things that you've discovered and view to be anomalies, honestly?
Well, they haven't really. No, the curious thing is I haven't really drawn any serious fire from anybody on this. I mean, like, nobody wants to argue about it.
Wow.
I really expected a rash of hate emails and critics, but you know, it's coming straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
That's exactly right. That's why it's so important people understand this. These are NASA's images.
Yeah, and as a result of that, I mean, I don't I can't state categorically, you know, what certain things are in the pictures, you know?
Right.
Like, just like the face on Mars. Is it a face? Who knows? Mm-hmm. Is it a structure? Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just point out, okay, you know, there's something in this image that doesn't seem to fit mm-hmm. with a natural formation, and what is it, you know?
Yeah.
I leave it to the reader to make some decisions. I don't claim to know these things.
So. Sure, absolutely. And I don't think there's anything wrong with speculating on certain things because, again, you know, you look at some of these structures, and again, as I flip through the printout here of your book, which is phenomenal, I'm seeing a lot of things. Obviously, some things look like columns, and we've, you know, addressed some of those. Structures, I've seen some things like that. There is a photograph in particular that looks like a skull to me, not necessarily a human skull, but just sort of a weird-shaped-looking thing. But it's moderately creepy.
One of my favorites is this looks like a black brick, and it's got printing on one end of it.
Yes. Is that the one with the numbers?
Yeah, it's like a delta symbol and I think an O and a C and
yes.
Some other stuff on it.
Yeah, and then there's one that has the numbers. I think it's like a 5563, if I can find that photograph, and look at this stuff. I mean, again, what is this stuff? We can speculate all day long. But the point is that we've never heard these things. Can you imagine, Ted, if let's say they went to, well, obviously not Mars, but I don't know. Let's say they went to some other planet somewhere and they found a Pepsi can.
Sure.
You know, I mean, wouldn't that be news? I would think that would be news.
I would say that God must be crazy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they find some unknown chamber in the Great Pyramid, and they open it up, and there's a Hershey wrapper. I mean, this would be news, folks. This is the kind of stuff that
actually,
you can't argue with.
Speaking of which.
Speaking of the Hershey's wrapper or the Great Pyramid?
Yeah, the chamber that the god of Egyptian antiquities, otherwise known as Zawi Hawass, has announced that... he is going to televise an opening of the door behind the door. So.
Yeah, I love those things. And I actually heard from a past guest that they have been spotted by people in the nighttime going in there and taking out anything that, you know, they don't want people to see. So it's not actually a real legitimate live opening.
Oh, yes. Yes. We have to keep these things from the masses,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. You often wonder if the term gypsies and Egyptian, you know, mm-hmm. if there's some connection there, you know.
Mm. You never know. Hey, I wanted to ask you about this, too. There's a lot of images that just have things blacked out, not necessarily pixelated, but just blacked out, whole sections of photographs. Any idea what that might be?
Well, what's curious is these images are ones they didn't re-image.
Yes.
You know, which is curious because many of the images have multiple duplicate images made on the same day, but the ones with the missing data, there aren't any duplicates of those. And that's pretty suspicious, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think so. And also, when you look at these photographs, I mean, some of these pictures you have are just a field of boulders. And you find a little tiny stone and say, wait a minute here, what is this? What's going on with this one? And I say little tiny. I mean, tiny in comparison to the overall photograph. May not be tiny at all. Maybe incredibly huge, maybe like the size of a skyscraper. But anyway, what I'm saying is that they miss those subtle things. So you'd assume that they would obviously see a glaring discrepancy that they have to, you know, black out a portion. So that indicates to me that whatever evidence they've blacked out is so obvious.
Well,
you know?
here's something to consider, okay? The cameras were really made to look at the ground. The image we originally started talking about earlier with the sky that's been pixelated out.
Yeah.
That camera was pointed at the sky. If you look at that one, the ground on Mars only constitutes about 10 to 20% of the image. The rest of it is all sky.
That's true.
What was that camera looking at that we're not allowed to see? That's the
true.
Question.
That's an excellent point. I mean, obviously they're not going to be like, let's look at the clouds on Mars.
Yeah, but they're not supposed to be any clouds on Mars.
Right, right. Yeah. Silly
and
me.
There could have been a disc flying around up there. They didn't want you to see it.
Mm-hmm. It does seem strange that they would take the time to pixelate that all out. I mean, it looks creepy. Why not just crop the photo? It doesn't make any sense. Anyway. We have another break here as I get all outraged. And, folks, if you have any questions for our guest, of course, we could start doing that. And he's with us till the end of the hour, and then we'll probably do open lines as well for the remainder of the show. You're more than welcome to take us anywhere you like. Our phone number, 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome back. Our guest, Ted Tweetmeyer, is the author of the book, When NASA Isn't Telling You About Mars. And you can see the photographs for yourself at bookonmars.info or, of course, at dataforscience.net. Ted, welcome back, sir.
Hey there, Frank.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about this, too. In addition to all these really stunning aspects of inconsistencies with what we talked about, and there's a lot of geometric shapes that are obviously too perfect to be naturally occurring. There's also a lot of other things. There's one that looks like a control lever. There's one that looks like it's been written on. There's so many different significance. Definitely a lot of things that do not look natural. There's a lot of domes, spheres, things like that. But one of the things that really stood out to me, and there's certainly a pattern of this, there are many, many, many images that have objects that look like they're blackened. And when I say blackened, I don't mean cooked up Cajun style. I mean blackened insofar as to say that an explosion took place and sides of these stones or whatever they are scorched.
Yes, they are.
And there's a substantial amount of those, and they're all relatively in the same area, are they not?
Yeah, and what's curious is, what does blackening, what element does that remind you of? Carbon?
No. Well, I'm not a scientist, so it reminds me of fire.
Yeah, okay, fire, carbon. Right. There you go.
Okay, all right.
Which is some sort of burning going on.
Yeah.
What I found intriguing.
Which I realize what you're getting at. You're saying that without oxygen, there's no fire.
Yeah.
And, so, atmosphere, okay.
And where,
I'm a little slow, Ted. You got to cut me some slack here, man.
Where did that broken-off stalactite come from that's sticking out of the ground only
right.
about 10 feet from the camera? Where did that come from?
That's a good point, too.
How did it get there, and where did it come from?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
not the kind of thing you see above ground very often.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it either was blasted from the surface and came back down, or... Maybe there was a body as in another planet that was destroyed, the missing planet theory.
Yeah.
And maybe that is a piece from the missing planet.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Remote viewing could probably answer the question.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, there's so much. Just looking through this, this is really a stunning book. And again, what you've collected here, like I said, irrefutable proof that there are non-natural structures, artifacts, and whatnot on Mars. These are all things that NASA knows about. These are all things that NASA has put out there. Inadvertently, you've captured these elements, these documents, these images for yourself. And I believe you told me that they are not necessarily putting things out before they've been carefully screened anymore. Is that correct?
You mean they are putting them out before they're screened now?
Yes, they are not. So they're screening everything a little bit more intensely, and that's probably due to you. So congratulations.
Well, thanks. I think those repeated visits from their office of the chief information officer, I didn't know they had one of these until I found it. I found them visiting the website. I think they must have been a little upset that these things were found. And
right.
They've since turned the screws a little bit to stop that from happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've harassed you quite a bit, my friend, and that's why I think it's important to keep you in the spotlight, to let people know that you're out there, to let them know that what you're doing is certainly caught the attention of the powers that be. And there's a reason, of course. You cannot puncture the bubble. You cannot break the rose-colored glasses. You know, you have to keep everything intact, and you're shattering the illusion, my friend, by allowing us to ask questions with facts. These are facts. These are visual proof that we've been lied to, quite simply, that there are many, many, many inexplainable and definitively not natural structures, objects, and things like that on Mars, and it's really just an amazing work you've done here.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, I thank you for doing it and for taking the time, of course, to talk about it with us. One of the other things I wondered if you might tell the story. This is something, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but I think it's an important story and it bears some note. You are the only person I know who has toured a concentration camp here in America.
Yeah, there was one in Fort A.P. Hill.
Mm-hmm.
In Virginia, which is about 10 miles east of Interstate 95 between Richmond and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid it another visit not too long ago, and they have since really kind of closed that whole area off pretty well.
Really?
Yeah. They've changed it such that it's very difficult to get to it now.
Mm.
I'm sure that my comments didn't go unnoticed.
I'm sure.
I didn't dare take pictures because there are signs that photography is forbidden, and if you're stupid enough to take pictures and put them on the web, it's a good way to invite a visit from those people. So I wasn't about to get myself in trouble and have my cameras taken and all that. So.
Wow.
But I can testify to anybody that those things are there, and there is actually a training area for POWs, which consists of about a triangular 50-foot area with a small cage just big enough for one adult to be crouched down in.
Mm.
It's about 4 by 4 by 5 foot in size.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sitting on the ground, and the area was, they were sawing down trees. They were apparently getting it ready to be used again.
Wow.
So that area is out in the woods. That's probably a half a mile from the regular camp. Maybe the idea is that nobody in the camp would hear the screaming going on. I don't know. But it's pretty strange.
Mm. Well, that's depressing.
Nickname of the place is Camp Cookie.
Really?
Yep. That's on the signs.
How weird.
And the signs are blue and white, just like the UN, dark blue.
See, and that's the thing. And I've heard from so many people, and they say, oh, these camp things are just it's just a bunch of conspiracy theory. And then, of course, and then a couple of years ago, of course, we saw the contract being extended to Kellogg Brown and Root to build these camps in the event of some sort of immigration, quote-unquote, situation, which could be anything, honestly.
You know the irony of this whole thing?
No.
At Fort AP Hill, where Camp Cook is located on the fort, is it only about maybe 2 or 3 miles down the road from the camp is where the National Boy Scout Jamboree has been held.
Oh, wow.
How's that for an irony?
It kind of makes sense, Ted, because I was a Boy Scout, and we used to have to do conservation projects and whatnot. So maybe they've got the Boy Scouts out there doing some of the work, building some of these structures, or, you know, who knows? That would be ironic, wouldn't it?
Son, you want to earn your Eagle badge? We need the Commandant's headquarters painted.
Hey, I don't think this is a good time to be laughing. This is serious stuff.
Yeah, well, we have to lighten up once
I know.
In a while.
No, I'm kidding, of course. I always laugh at everything. Everything makes me laugh. The other thing I wondered if you might speculate for us a little bit is about the hurricane season coming up, because you had written this fantastic article. It's still posted on our website there, folks. You can read it for yourself, franklyspeakingradio.com. And it was about weather modification, some photographs and whatnot included with these pictures of hurricanes.
Yes. Yeah, like the hurricane that has the square eye in it.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen, man.
And the other one with the pentagon-shaped wall, which
yes.
is like a pentagon within a pentagon shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, tell me these things are natural in nature. I mean, when's the last time you flushed your toilet and saw a square vortex going down the drain?
Well, I would have to say never on that one, but you're absolutely right.
I don't think it happens.
It's very bizarre, and certainly we saw in 2004 we had four hurricanes hit Florida 5 times. One, of course, doubled back. 2005, we all remember from Katrina and Rita and all that jazz. Last year, not a whole lot going on. This year, now, of course, Ted, the global warming thing is the big topic. I think it's going to be a huge issue, not just with the presidential election, but also with all the different elements of that, such as the National Association or National Evangelical Association. I think they're going to jump on board with that as sort of a biblical certainty that we must take good care of this world that God gave us, and therefore we need a Democrat in office. I don't know. I think it's going to be a big issue, but I do think that we might see a doozy of a hurricane season this year, and maybe some legitimacy as far as the reports of the death tolls and whatnot in order to hype up the issue. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so, and this weather tampering is a very dangerous game they're playing, because mm-hmm. the outcome and the long-term results can be very unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Very unpredictable.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, I'd take some calls with you if you'd like.
Okay.
We can do that, too.
Yeah, we'll see if we can fit some of these in. The other thing I wanted to briefly address here is some of the projects going on your website there at dataforscience.net. I know you were addressing the planetary time jumps, which I think is very, very interesting, and I've talked about this with several people. Things along the lines of, watching, because, obviously we all have some clocks of some sort that program themselves, maybe a digital cable box, a cell phone, things like that. And then, of course, the ones that we set by hand, which all run, pretty much the same speed. they all get goofy. They all end up, you know, distancing, far out distancing themselves from the other clocks in the house. It does seem that time is speeding up, and obviously we saw the massive tsunami. We saw the new wobble. We've seen time sort of adjust by microseconds. I always see those stories as they come out at the beginning of every year. Is time speeding up, Ted, and what is going on with it?
Well, I think there's a couple factors here. There's the, shall we call it, the flow of time as we perceive it, and, of course, that is kept by clocks and watches. And then there are jumps in time. And there has been some strong evidence for the fact that time is not constant and that it does jump. We know gravity is not constant, in fact, and that Leedskalin built his coral castle single-handedly down there in a certain place in southern Florida because he said that was where the gravity was right to do it. And it wasn't till some 50 years later when a gravity-sensing satellite mapped the Earth and found these lines of gravitational irregularities on the Earth and discovered that, lo and behold, that right across that area cutting across Florida down there was one of these gravitational lines. So the other aspect of this is we know that gravity and time are interrelated. When you affect gravity, you change the flow of time.
Mm-hmm.
Astronauts have found their watches have slower time when they're in orbit. It's not by much, but the longer they're up there, the more it accumulates. People that have climbed the tops of mountains. And what's different about this? You're farther from the surface of the Earth. That's what's different. So the gravity is slightly different, and the flow of time is as well. And I believe this is the reason why Voyager has lasted so long, because out where it's at, the flow of time is very slow
mm-hmm.
in its frame of reference compared to ours. So we're almost getting into a relativity thing here. But that's why I believe it's outlasted. It's design life.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually got a cam switch going around, sending back 11 bits per second. Why didn't the switch wear out and break off? I mean, it's far outlasted its design life, but it's still working because the farther it gets into space away from heavenly bodies, the slower the flow of time is for it.
Mm. That's really interesting. I'm trying to keep up with all that, of course, in my non-scientific mind, but it seems to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, you put the observations together and you end up with some facts that start to paint a picture, you know, and then comes some theory to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly the flow of time is not constant or guaranteed to be perfectly constant, which, you know,
mm-hmm.
is saying something about gravity, too.
That's really interesting.
Because the more advanced theories will tell you that gravity and time may actually be the same thing.
So as far as being able to document time jumps on Earth, how is that exactly measured?
Well, the odd thing about this is that we can observe this. Its instruments don't tend to pick it up. It's a most peculiar thing. And I believe it's because the human mind exists outside of space-time. Because the human mind is, you know, your thoughts are non-physical. You can make observations and remember them non-physically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're really functioning, I guess you could almost say, in the fourth dimension mentally. So therefore, you can observe these things happen.
Hmm.
Yet instruments don't record them. And many
wow.
people have seen this, you know, for
yeah.
example, they've seen like the same person come out of the building a few minutes apart. Well, how's that possible? How could they come out twice?
Yeah.
And, you know, these little jumps tend to happen. And the cause of them, I believe that possibly they may have been used to save the Earth from being destroyed.
Really? Sort of like a time travel peek into the future sort of thing?
Well, just imagine, for example, okay, there's some massive object hurtling towards Earth. And there's a race that has the technology to jump the Earth, to move it, you know, in a jump.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to jump very far. And it then, you know, continues on its course it's been on all along. And there seems to be some evidence this has actually happened. And a friend of mine who's much better in physics and advanced theory than I am has postulated we're now many months ahead of what the calendar actually says.
Really?
Because of what's been going on. So
that's interesting, because I remember there's a big stink about the whole time, you know, meaning time change, you know, spring forward, fall back, time change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The daylight savings. That's what I'm trying to say. Of course, struggling.
My nickname for it is the clock twiddling.
The clock twiddling. Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a big stink about that, and people are saying, "Hey, this is a huge problem. You know, computers won't be able to keep up." And I've noticed a lot of computer errors these days. I had my computer here in the studio just jump backwards a whole day, and my other computer was stuck in the same. It didn't actually advance in the time automatically as it's supposed to when it hooks to the internet. Hang on a second, folks. We're going to be back here in about 3 minutes. We'll squeeze in a few calls with our special guest this evening, Ted Tweetmeyer. Stay with us.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. Tail end of hour number two already. Our good friend Ted Tweetmeyer has been with us for the previous 2 hours, and we certainly value every second he spares with us. I know it's incredibly late where you are. And God bless you for your generosity with your time, my friend. I really appreciate it. Before we take the calls here, again, we'll squeeze in anything we can here. Bookonmars.info is the website for this book, which goes for about 10 bucks. Well worth it. Hundreds of images selected from tens of thousands of images. And you'll see quite plainly, just inexplicably not natural objects, I guess you could say. Dataforscience.net is the other one, which is a great sort of open source, I guess, what would you call it, Ted? An open source resource for people contributing to the theories, to the evidence, to the documentation?
Yes, it is. I mean, it allows folks to participate in gathering science, and it's we have a system written by Chris Bake, who is a webmaster, that wonderfully posts this stuff for immediate viewing.
So. Oh, okay. Well, it's fantastic stuff. Let's try to squeeze in some calls again. 800-313-9443. Let's go to Bert in Ohio. Bert, welcome to the show.
Hey, hello. How you doing, Frank?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Oh, doing good.
Good.
Great show last night. I just want to say real quick.
Oh, thank
your,
you.
Your news segment totally rocked the whole shop.
Wow.
Yeah, we're still having, I mean, matter of fact, one of the guys started posting on your forum wanting more answers. I'm like, you know, why don't you go find out for yourself?
I would say 4 hours of just news stories should be plenty of answers. But I guess, you know, it's lots of questions, too.
Yeah, it brings up even more questions.
Yeah.
About
well,
the
thank
whole,
you.
Yeah, that was really good. Great guest. Great guest. I have looked at some of the pictures and stuff that's referred to in the gentleman's book, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to ask if I could, you know, isn't there a math to all of it as well as, like, where it's all placed, and there's a geometry as well, and that's, like, maybe gives way to, you know, the powers to be or whatever. They use this math or this high understanding or whatever, or science, if you want to call it, and it does apply a lot to the different aspects of where people go with their theories and everything else. And I'm like you, Frank. I mean, you know, I want the truth, you know, whatever it may be. I mean, I am a Christian, but at the same time, there's nothing in the Bible that goes against that. There may be something else going on out there on top of what's going on here as well.
Oh, well said.
You know, and it's just, you know, I mean, you know, your fundamentalists make it really difficult for, you know, people who believe like I do to try to explore these things. I just would like to ask, I mean, do you look at the math aspect of it as well, or is it just the photographs and that's it?
Excellent question. Ted?
Yes, well, the issue, I guess, would be that there was an explosion there, and it's a little difficult to pin that down as to the locations of certain things. However, I did do some statistics in the book. I have a chart that shows that the artifacts were found basically in three clusters over several hundred days. I believe it's 600 days, I believe, is the period of time that the research covers. So there is a clustering, there is a grouping of these objects. And then they move the rover after the third grouping out into the middle of nowhere.